This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, it is Clásico weekend in La Liga, the biggest game in Spain and the biggest game on the planet, sure to be a significant and serious amount traded in bets over the course of the weekend and the run-up to the game on Sunday. Best advice, of course, comes courtesy of the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Alongside myself, Dan Robert, we've got Rory Barlow, Football España editor and freelance Spanish football journalist, Alan Philly. We're obviously going to focus on Real Madrid versus Barcelona, and the boys are going to give you selections in the key markets, win, draw, win market, over and under 2.5, which is the mark this week for the game. And we'll have a look at the goal scorers for you as well. Real Madrid plus 128, Barcelona plus 210, with the draw plus 260, over and under mark at 167, minus for over, under is plus 135. Match betting first up then, Alan here. A reminder that both teams joint top, if you like, with a played 8-1-7 drawn 1 record. Both drew in very different circumstances in the Champions League midweek. Going into the game, what are you looking for here? What do you like in Real Madrid versus Barcelona? Talk us through your thoughts.
Well, it's an interesting game, and no matter what happens, things can be very tightly competed game, if that makes sense. I don't think there's going to be a convincing winner in the manner there was last season when Barcelona routed Madrid at the Bernabeu 4-0. I'm going to back Real Madrid to win. That's plus 128 to beat Barcelona. I just think that it's an interestingly poised one, in that obviously Barcelona have the edge in the domestic front and the top of the table, of course. They've been, if not imperious since the opening day when they dropped points against Rayo Vallecano, but they've been very consistent and very impressive, you could say, in terms of the way they're winning games in a manner that we haven't seen since, you know, pre-pandemic, to be honest with you. But I think that the Champions League encounters that you mentioned at the beginning of the show will definitely have an emotional impact in the game. I mean, obviously last night Barcelona drew 3-3 with Inter Milan, effectively sealing their exit from the Champions League at the group stage for the second season consecutively, and, you know, drawing up a whole number of questions around their financial future and on the kind of short to long-term success of the Xavi project, you could say. Madrid drew 1-1 with Shakhtar Donetsk in Ukraine, but in the process secured their qualification for the next phase of the Champions League for the 32nd consecutive year or something crazy like that. And even the manner of their draw, you know, coming from behind the final minute, Antonio Rudiger scoring a header and taking, you know, something like 10 stitches in the process, kind of just underlying the kind of never say die spirit that this Madrid team have. And the fact that it was Rudiger doing it, who's been a kind of, you know, much questioned figure so far this season, was significant in my opinion, because it kind of hinted that some of the signings who came in the summer are beginning to really gel into the team that won the Champions League and La Liga last season. So I think that, you know, looking at this team, you've Karim Benzema coming back into good form. He's had a difficult start to the season from an injury perspective, also from a form perspective. You have a more settled defense. You know, the likes of Toni Kroos are beginning to dominate games in a way they hadn't last season even. You know, Tchouaméni's been so seamless coming in. Vinicius Jr. hasn't scored in a few games, which would indicate that maybe he, you know, could be on the mark again this weekend. So I think that that, you know, coupled with the emergence of players like Rodrigo Goez and Aaron Tchouaméni, as I mentioned as well, means that Barcelona don't have the edge going to this game, because they'll be emotionally exhausted from the defeat, the draw to with Internazionale. And also they'll just be, you know, depleted by injury, given the players they're missing, and they've lost momentum. And I think it was actually Rory tweeted it last night, or maybe it wasn't Rory, but it's somebody else, that, you know, Madrid are mentality monsters in terms of, the way they approach football and the way they approach competition. But Barcelona are momentum monsters. And this Barcelona team has proven itself as a team who thrive when they're building up momentum and are in a good run, as opposed to a team like Madrid who can deliver when the clutch moments come. So for that reason, I can see beyond the Real Madrid victory, especially given the fact that it's at the Santiago Bernabéu.
Plus 128 Real Madrid to win. That's Alan's selection. Yeah, a week is a long time in football with Rudiger eating pizza one week and then literally bleeding for the cause a week later. Rory, what's your take on Clásico this weekend?
Yeah, I think Alan's right when he says it's interestingly poised. I'm really intrigued to see how Carlo Ancelotti goes about this. My actual bet, just to get that out of the way, is both teams to score an under 4.5 goals. That comes back at plus 106. And I think there's holes to get at in this Real Madrid defence. I think that's been demonstrated over the course of the season. As Alan says, I don't think this will be a very one-sided encounter, and there's no necessarily. It's not like a sort of knockout tie as it was in the Champions League, essentially for Barcelona, where they're going to have to sort of throw real caution to the wind. So I see this being a tighter game, hence why I've kind of gone the under 4.5 goals, which still gives you a good margin, and that still gives you a 3-1 win for either side. If you're thinking it's going to be a comfortable match, but yeah, I think this it all comes down to. To more or less how Carlo Ancelotti decides to approach this, because he said in the past and this season that we'll see more than one Real Madrid this season. We'll see the Real Madrid that drops low. We'll see the Real Madrid that presses high, that tries to dominate the game. I think if you look at the last Clásico when Barcelona did rout Real Madrid, Real really sort of tried to hit them on the counter. They played deeper. They thought that was the way to go. They did the same against Atletico Madrid, and it paid off for them this season. But also, you look at this Barcelona side and you think surely they're kind of there for the taking, given their defensive woes, given that they, yeah, just don't look comfortable defending at all. I think Ancelotti, as much as he's quite pragmatic, or certainly he's been quite pragmatic at this Real Madrid sort of second spell in terms of how he sets his team up, where he looks to attack, he probably wants to control the game more than he wants to drop deep and counter. So yeah, looking at it from that point of view, I think the way Real Madrid set up will be crucial. If you do counter, as Inter showed, there's plenty of holes at this Barcelona side. I think that's almost the more sensible way to go. It's almost the safer way to go. But then you do run the risk of Barcelona getting ahead. And as you say, momentum is key for this Barcelona side. And that's kind of how they got off to schneid against Real Madrid last time, as they got an early goal and then they started really playing and they started controlling the game. And even against Inter, they had sort of 10, 15 minutes where the game really went to pot for them. They lost control of the match. Just there was so much space in the midfield. But that first half, they did control the game well. And so far, Xavi Hernandez, he said the strategy that he had against Inter was right, but that they'd failed to execute it properly. I think there's room for criticism of Xavi's strategy. I think the way they attack a deep block does need some work. But overall, it was working until about the 50th minute, and Gerard Piqué decided to shepherd in Nico Barella for the equalizer. And then Barcelona did lose their heads. They lost their kind of they lost their momentum, but they also just kind of lost control of the match. And so yeah, I think Carlo Ancelotti's setup is going to be the sort of decisive factor as to how this game goes. It might not change the result, but I think it will be key.
I think also just to follow up on that point, I think the fact that Pedri has 90 minutes in his legs for last night, like I thought he actually played very well last night. I thought that even when the kind of, the proverbial was hitting the fan towards the end of the game, he was the one player to remain cool and control the game and try and kind of find solutions and get on the ball and drive forward. So the fact that he was playing for the full 90 minutes and then has to go again on Sunday afternoon at the Bernabeu indicates to me that he's not going to have the same kind of verve that he did last night. And I think that, the likes of Gavi too looked a bit leggy last night. And I think that if you make more changes in the midfield and you bring in, maybe Frankie de Jong for Sergio Busquets, or even more unlikely, you start Frank Kessié instead of maybe Gavi, I think that you leave yourself even more open to transitions. And if any team in European football is good at punishing transitions, to Real Madrid. You know, I don't think Barcelona, as Rory said, are going to approach the game like they did last night. It won't be as gung-ho. It won't be as aggressive. But I think that there's susceptibilities there that the likes of Vinicius Jr., Rodrigo Goez, and Karim Benzema will delight in picking apart. And with progressors from midfield like Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, and Arjen Tchouaméni, it's a dangerous cocktail, to be honest with you. So I think that it's going to be a tight game, but I really do fancy Madrid for this one.
And that's the key battle for Barcelona as well. Last few Clásicos, they've managed to more or less, okay, still had a big impact, but more or less keep Vinicius sort of tied down with Ronald Araujo. He's going to be missing, and Jules Koundé is 50-50 as to whether he makes it. Whether he plays or not will play a big role in this match, I think, because if they do have Koundé on Vinicius, I think that it negates him to a certain extent. But if it is Sergio Roberto or perhaps Ale Balde, like another of their left backs, then that's going to be a real problem for Barcelona. And they really don't have an answer to Vinicius without Koundé, I think.
Frightening to imagine Vinicius running at Roberto and Rodrigo running at Marcus Alonso. Not a good part for Barcelona.
Yeah, it certainly, you wouldn't be sitting comfortably if you're in Barcelona.
Official tips, plus 128. Alan likes Real Madrid and Rory goes. Both teams to score under 4.5, plus 106. But what you were just talking about in that last little section there would suggest that you like goals, but maybe not. I mean, you're suggesting caution, but potentially there could be some matchups on the pitch that might see some goals created or chances created. Last four have been over 2.5. goals, the previous three under 2.5. If I had to pressure, these are unofficial selections, but for those looking at under and over, over is -167, under +135. Rory, what would be your take on overs, unders?
I'd be tempted just to err on the side of overs, because I think when these two sides meet, they do tend to be entertaining games, and I think those last kind of 10-15 minutes when the game gets really stretched, that's where Real Madrid will seek to have their fun. If you want another sort of unofficial bet, I'm not sure I would have necessarily recommended this until sort of last night, but Real Madrid to win, both teams to score, +275. It's quite nice odds if you do fancy Alan's selection. And yeah, Real Madrid have only kept one clean sheet in La Liga this season against Getafe, so yeah, that's a nice extra pick if you fancy it.
Alan, make the case for unders then.
Well, I think that I remember last season when they went to the Bernabeu, Barcelona, and they won 4-0, as they famously did. Admittedly, Madrid were missing Karim Benzema, who was, you know, their marquee player last season, the kind of the fulcrum of their team. But I remember distinctly in the second half when they were already winning comfortably, Xavi was continually pressing his players to keep going, to not let up, to continue to punish Madrid, because they know that at some point an opportunity will arise for Madrid to come back into the game. I think that in this scenario, if Madrid are winning the game, Ancelotti will not do that. He'll be the opposite. He'll go, okay, cool the Jets. Let's make some defensive changes. Let's control the game. Let's kill the game. Don't allow it to get a bit wild like you did last night, where you've, you know, Rafinha or Ousmane Dembele running into space and Lewandowski creating opportunities and counterattacks. Let's make it quite kind of solid and safe and controlled. So for that reason, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I said under 2.5 goals, which is +135. And when I checked last night, I can really see Madrid winning this game 1-0 or 2-0, to be honest with you. I think that Barcelona are at low ebb. And I think that the fear from Camp Nou, or Spotify Camp Nou, should I say, of waking up Monday morning, having gone out of the Champions League and having basically rescinded the lead of La Liga to Real Madrid in a Clásico at the Santiago Bernabeu, would be a very sobering thought and very much a fear. And I really do think that without Ronaldo Araujo, without Jules Koundé, who even if he isn't playing, won't be fully fit, I really do think that it's too much for Barcelona, to be honest with you. So I think a low-scoring game, and I'm really backing Madrid to win.
Okay, Real Madrid to manage it a little bit better. Let's just rattle through some first goal scorer thoughts. Benzema, 3 goals this season in La Liga. Only the one has been first. He's +350 to get the first, -104 score at any time. Vinicius Jr. has got 5. 3 have been first goals, +650 to get the first goal. From a Barca point of view, Lewandowski's got 9. 4 have been first, +410, +114. It's the biggest price he's been to score at any time this season in La Liga. Rafinha has got one goal this season, and it has been first plus 10.50. Bigger prices for Real Madrid players. Roy, just give us some thoughts on your take on first goal scorer, anytime goal scorer market.
First goal scorer, I think Vinicius is probably a safer bet. I'm assuming that that's where Alan was going to go, because I know he was on that recently. And yeah, against Roberto or Alonso or Ale Balde, I think that makes sense. Lewandowski anytime at plus 114, I think is quite nice. You looked at that Inter game, and even though nothing was happening for Barcelona, Robert Lewandowski kind of came up with two goals out the blue and really just finished chances that were half chances essentially. So I think plus 114 for Lewandowski anytime. I didn't manage to catch the odds for him, but Fede Valverde is frequently very effective against Barcelona, particularly on the counter in those transitions, as Alan mentioned. So Fede Valverde is also one to take a look at, especially if the game is stretched.
Yeah, plus 1,600 to get first, plus 360 anytime. Alan, briefly on this one, what do you think? First goal scorer, anytime scorer, for those looking at the BetRivers website who want a bet in this particular market, who should we focus on?
I'm going for Karim Benzema, score anytime, which is minus 104. Not the most imaginative of picks maybe, but I just think that given, as I mentioned earlier, Benzema hasn't had the start to the season that we would have expected from him through injury and through performance. He's not been the player of last year for sure, but I do think that having had a bit of a rest, having been able to get back to full speed after being out for a while, he'll be raring to go for this game. And I think that coming up against a Barcelona defence that, you know, if it is about what we saw last night, which is Sergio Roberto, Gerard Piqué, Eric Garcia and Marcus Alonso, I think that even though Marc-Andre ter Stegen is in good form, that's a very dangerous defence from a Barcelona perspective to mark that attacking trident of, as I mentioned earlier, Vinicius, Rodrigo and Karim Benzema, because, you know, the way Karim Benzema operates, he likes to drop deep and kind of play as almost a 9.5 in a kind of Harry Kane sense. And that creates space in behind for his wide forwards to run in behind him and kind of stretch the play a little bit. And I think that, coupled with, you know, Piqué's lack of clarity, as you saw last night when, as Rory mentioned, he kind of shepherded Nicolò Barella in for that goal. Eric Garcia has been playing well this season, and I thought he was actually good in the first half last night in terms of his progressive passing was good. He was quite clever in the way he was operating, but I think that he's weak fundamentally. And I think that when you come up against world-class forwards in the guise of Vinicius and Karim Benzema, there's weaknesses to exploit with him. And I think that that centre-back partnership of himself and Piqué, even though they're both Catalan and bourgeoisie and very much of the club in many ways, is weak. And I think that it could be very well be punished. And I think that if I'm going to be punishing it, it's going to be Karim Benzema. So while it's not the most, you know, left field of picks, I do think it's a good one.
Minus 104 to score at any time. We have majored on the Clásico. We're going to have to rattle through the rest of the selections. Rory, you're first up Saturday, early evening kickoff locally. Mallorca against Sevilla. What's the thoughts here?
Yeah, Sevilla to get their first win at plus 163, I think. Mallorca, I sort of backed them last week to win or draw. That came through, but they had a sort of an off night. The big issue for them is that Ferhat Mürrüki is suspended after he got sent off. This Mallorca side are an entirely different team without him. He is fundamental to the way they play. And if you look at their other two strikers, Ángel Rodríguez is a typical poacher who has scored less than a poacher would expect to score in recent seasons. And Abdon Prats, who is often devoid of goals and is hardworking, but doesn't bring the same threat or the same build-up that Mürrüki does. So they're going to be without sort of their main sort of totem pole in attack. And then Sevilla, they're starting to build up some momentum. I think Athletic Club, it was a match that they survived. That was important that they got through that match, even if they didn't win it. And even if they looked a little shaky against Dortmund, they were good. They competed. They really, I mean, arguably could have won that game in Dortmund. And Sampaoli, I think that's an important step for him to show the side that, yeah, okay, we can go toe-to-toe with anyone. I think that confidence should carry through into this game. And so goals are still an issue for this Sevilla side. As you saw against Dortmund, they still don't have a striker. But against the Mallorca side, that I struggle to see scoring more than one, even if they do get that. So yeah, I think I'm going to back Sevilla here. They're just a side in better form, a little bit more confident, I think. And Mallorca, yeah, will struggle without Mürrüki.
Sevilla to win plus 163. Alan, Athletic Club against Atletico Madrid. It's third versus fourth. You're expecting the tight game. You've gone for the draw. Tell us why. Plus 230.
I was surprised with the odds in this game because when I checked, Athletic were actually the favourites, which is, you know, must be the first time in a while that's happened against Atletico Madrid, even though it is at, you know, San Mamés. But I've gone for the draw, yeah, plus 230. Just because I think with Atletico this season, they've been inconsistent and they've been poor, make no bones about it, in many games, and they've failed to impress when I would have expected them to. But then conversely, when I don't expect them to, they seem to do it as well in terms of they impress when I don't expect them to. I remember, you know, backing them to draw against Sevilla, I think it was, and they ended up beating them away from home. But then they followed up with disappointing performances in Europe against Club Brugge. And then last night, of course, as well, they drew nil-all with Club Brugge, who are a very good side, make no bones about it. But I think Atletico, with, you know, potentially qualification on the line, should be beating them at the Civitas Metropolitano. So yeah, I think that, you know, Saturday evening, San Mamés, Athletic Club are in a great moment. They're playing really good football. Ernesto Valverde has gotten more of this team than I thought was possible. You know, Marcelino's a good coach as well. He did a good job last season, but I think Valverde is showing his technical and tactical expertise in terms of taking this team up to this level where they're actually a viable contender for, if not a top four place, even though that's definitely not off the cards, definitely a Europa League place, which they have not been for some time. I think Gary Neville said when he was coach of Valencia, he remember going up against Ernesto Valverde when he was at Athletic Club before he was at Barcelona and marveling how Ernesto Valverde changed system two or three times during the game. It was almost like he was toying with me, he said. That's the caliber of coach that we have here. And it's really remarkable that he wasn't picked up by anybody after he left Barcelona in 2020. But he's back at Athletic now, doing a very good job. There's trouble in Atletico's camp. I mean, Joao Felix and Diego Simeone seem to be in a barely concealed war of words. It seems, you know, almost inevitable that a split is going to come this summer transfer window, whether that's Simeone leaving or Joao Felix leaving, but something has to give because given the fact that they signed Antoine Griezmann, there really isn't space for Joao Felix anymore for a pair of his ego and his wages and his transfer fees. So I think that's hinting at some discontent there. But having said that, I think that Atletico are too good a team to, you know, take a hiding off Athletic Club. So for that reason, I think they're going to go there. It's going to be an unattractive game, low scoring game, and not one for the purists, not end to end, not champagne football. But having said that, I think a draw is the most likely result. So yeah, it's an interesting one. You have a team on the up and a team who are kind of in a bit of stasis. But I think that looking at all the factors, I'm going to go for a draw.
Plus 230, the draw. And you're right, Athletic Club were plus 200 to win this game last season. They are the favourites this time around. Alan, stick with you because we go Sunday locally, 2 p.m. Celta de Vigo against La Real, plus 163, the host, plus 188 for an away win, plus 225 for the draw here. You have gone for an away success. They have been in good form, haven't they? I know they played tonight in the Europa League, but La Real have hit a bit of form, Alan.
They have, yeah, they've been very good. And I think that I'm naturally skeptical with clubs like Real Sociedad, with clubs like Villarreal, because they have a tendency to perform well in spells and then to kind of crumble a bit. Like Real Sociedad, especially in the last two seasons, have started the season like really well and then faded as they get to the business end of the campaign. And it seems to repeat itself every season. But the difference this year is that there seems to have a newfound edge to their play that wasn't there in the past. I remember speaking to Phil Ball, who's a pretty much the English language expert in Real Sociedad. And he said to me, I think it was in the beginning of the 2021 season, the difference between Real Sociedad and Sevilla is that Sevilla have this kind of grizzled nature about them where they know how to win games that they maybe shouldn't. And Real Sociedad don't have that. They're green, they're young, they're inexperienced, they play good football, but they don't have that competitive zeal that you need to perform at the highest level of European football. But this season, they've been operating with much more aggression. They're winning more fouls. They've signed Brais Méndez, who's been performing really, really well. David Silva looks fitter than he has done since he left Manchester City. Taki Kubo has come in and done a very good job as well. They just seem to have a better balance about them. defensively, offensively, in transitions. Mikel Merino, again, is playing very well in central midfield, one of the best midfielders in Spain at the moment. They're doing really well in Europa League. They're topping their group ahead of Manchester City and Manchester United, should I say. They are playing in Europe this evening, and that would work against them. But I think that Celta are the kind of side who are just inconsistent. They're not a team who I back to go on a run of games consistently. Bryce Mendes joined La Real from Celta during the summer, so he'll have maybe a bit of ambition to kind of, you know, put one over on them. So even though it's at Balaidos, which is a difficult place to go at the best of times, you know, going up to Galicia is quite a step away, even though San Sebastian is also in the northern reaches of Spain. I just can't see beyond Real Sociedad for this game, although I do think it will be tight. So for that reason, I'm going to go back the Basque side to win, plus 188. Should be an interesting game and should be a very, very good test of their mettle when it comes to being up there in the European places and the Champions League places.
Plus 188 for La Real to win away. One more official selection. Rory, this is yours. Betis are short price favourites to be Almeria, minus 177, but you've managed to squeeze a little bit more value out of the game for us. Talk us through the selection here.
Yep, if we get two goals, then Betis to win and over 1.5 comes back at minus 122. I think this Betis side has been inconsistent of late. I mean, they drew against Valladolid last week. The previous week in La Liga, they lost to Celta. And then in the Europa League, they beat Roma and they're playing Roma again tonight. So I think there were mitigating factors in those Celta games. They got two early sending offs in both the Celta and the Valladolid results. That's obviously helped them to look a bit leggy after Europa League. But I think it helps the fact that this Almeria match is on the Saturday evening. So it's apart from the Monday, it's the latest possible slot they could have had after Europa League. Gives them a little bit more time. They're not travelling this week. I think the Roma game will be exhausting, but Betis also don't come into it from a position of need. They are ahead of Roma, so a point kind of does them in that match. They don't need to attack the game in the same way that, say, Barcelona do or Real Sociedad do, because they need to stay ahead of Manchester United. Almeria, they got a crucial first win last weekend. They won 3-0 against Rayo Vallecano. And that was a big confidence boost for them. But Rayo kind of gifted them the opener. They sort of got ahead of momentum and then sort of stampeded against Rayo. And that led to sort of a 3-0 lead at halftime. They eventually conceded in the 80th minute or so. And they had another wobble. They had sort of about 10 minutes where even with a two-goal lead, it looked as if they might sort of throw it all away. So this is an Almeria side that, even though they've now got off the schneid with, because they hadn't scored since Umar Sadiq had left the club in August, they still are lacking goals. I still don't see a sort of consistent source of goals. I don't see a route to scoring. Betis, I think the fact that they did lose to Celta, I think the fact that they drew against Valladolid means they'll be very, very aware of the pitfalls of this match. I think, to be blunt, they just kind of need a win, because out of those three matches, if you were to say they were to take less than 3 points, that would be quite a blow for them. So I expect them to get wins. I expect them to get themselves right. Betis to win over 1.5 goals, minus 122.
Like that one. That's a good bet for Betis against Almeria. And finally, anything else? Very quickly, Alan, you've got one more lean for us this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, I like Girona to beat Cadiz, which is minus 114. I like it because I think it's an interesting kind of battle where you have a team who just promoted, who are quite upwardly mobile, been playing well for a few weeks, not got much reward for it. They're playing attractive, kind of attacking football. Scoring a lot of goals, but losing a lot of games as well. Coming up against a team in Cadiz who I think will really be struggling to avoid relegation this season. They've been in the top flight for 2 years in a row. I think the time is probably come for them to drop down again. So yeah, it should be an interesting game. Not, you know, El Clasico by any means, but I think an upwardly mobile club come up from the division, trying to cement their place there against a team who've been there for maybe a little while too long, could be an interesting game. And for that reason, I'd be backing Girona to do the business.
Rory, anything from you other than Clásico to focus on this weekend?
Yeah, the other one that I was swivering between, I also did have a look at that Girona match. Valencia and Elche. Valencia at home have to be strong favourites here. They've been in good form, scoring quite a few goals. Elche struggling. Valencia to win and both teams to score is -150. Valencia to win and over 2.5 is +116. I think both of those are good enough bets if you want to have a go at it. Elche have just appointed a new manager, Jorge Almirón, but he was also their former manager two seasons ago, and there's more than doubts about him and his football, to say the very least. So I'm not sure how much of a boost they'll get from that. So Valencia in good form at home. I expect them to do the business against Elche. It just depends on how they do it.
That's a derby as well. So Reino Gattuso will be heated up for it.
Should be an interesting one. Cold. A couple of extras there. At the end of the podcast, and obviously plenty on the Classico right at the top there. Boys, we have rattled on and gone over time. Thanks for your company, as per usual. We've got a midweek card next week, so we're going to be back Monday, I think. So watch out for that week 10 of the season. And make sure you cross all of the Bet Rivers content at Because We Win. We will see you early next week.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the Bet Rivers Network.